You know, he could have had that Red Sea wide open. He could have. He could have had it wide open before they got there. But he didn't. He didn't have that wide open. You know, and he could just clear everything out of our lives all at one time, but he just don't do it. He just don't. He has a purpose. See, God's going to show us he's Jehovah Jireh. You know, God, though, he don't want us just hearing about it. You know, he's hearing about God did this for so-and-so and God did that for them over yonder. You know, nah, he didn't want them. He didn't want them to say, "Ah, he left the sea parted for us." Nah, he wanted them to see him parted. He wanted them to see Moses obey him and do what. You know, Moses turned to the Lord. Moses would. I'm sure he was getting concerned himself. Pharaoh's coming back. I mean, no, Satan always wants you back. He wants you back down there serving him and in bondage and sick and weak and poverty and oppressed. He wants you back down there, just like Pharaoh wanted them back down there. But God's will was to prosper them and take them out into a place that he had promised them. See, and that Bible is full of promise. And God spoke to me this morning. He said, son, he said, I'm not slack concerning my promises. He spoke to me. He said, I'm not slack concerning my promises like some count I am. He said, I'm faithful. And I thought, yes, Lord, you've never let me down. You've never, you know, I've not understood the ways God was going to go. You know, just like somebody, I walked up yesterday getting some batteries because I'm tired of jumping y'all's box truck off every time I want to go somewhere in it. It's y'all's. When it's cold, I have to jump it off, Matt. And it gets on my nerves because I'm always in a hurry. So I have to stand there and wait on that thing to charge. And so anyways, Teresa says, why don't you go ahead and get them today? And, you know, it was yesterday. And I said, we ought to do that. And I go down there and I said, I need some batteries. And he said, starts out, he said, you got them with you? I said, no, I don't got them with me, but I measured them. They're 14 inches long, they're 7.5 inches wide, and they're 6.5 inches tall. And that guy looked and he said, that's them that just come in this morning. I said, do what? He said, we just got them in just a while ago. We didn't have no batteries like that till a while ago. I said, well, the thing about it is God knew I was coming down here this morning. I said, and God had me batteries put in here. And he gets up off the ground and he said, God works in mysterious ways. And I said, no, that's not mysterious. But see, what that mindset of Christians, that wasn't mysterious. God knew that I was going down there to get those batteries yesterday, so he had them whenever last week started on the way. If they had not have been there, I couldn't have gotten, you know, had to jump it off this morning before church. I tried to do it before daylight. That'll went and throw a coat on, stay in my underwear. Teresa, she'll tell me, don't go out there naked. I'm not. I got a coat on, baby. But you know what? I mean, see, God knows your life. He knows what's ahead of you. He knows what's going on in our life. He knows what tries to feed us wrong information all the time. The media trying to feed us wrong information. You say, well, it's just because of the election. I've been saying this for nearly 30 years. I've been saying it for 30 years. The media tells me what they want me to hear. That's why the media, the most part of mine, is shut down. I shut them down years ago. Years and years ago. I shut media down. Why? Because they tell me flu season. I tell them not at my house. They tell me, you know, new season, monkey flu. Now, I'm not going to have it. Ain't coming to my. I've been talking to the TV for years. It ain't just because of this election. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Tell Scotty, don't conform to the world's system, the world's way of thinking and doing. Don't be conformed to it. Be transformed. Put me that scripture up there, Beth, Romans chapter 12. I know you don't got it, but we're going different today. I'm led by the Spirit of God this morning. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? And he's got a reason why he tells us, don't be conformed to this world. I told Teresa the other day, I said, you know what? They can legalize marijuana, but I'm not growing a patch. Now I could. I got the land, and I could make tons and tons of money. If they want to legalize marijuana, I could sow some. I'm a farmer. I know how to make seed grow. I know how to do it. Man, I could grow some of the best pot Blount County ever had. I've got a lot more patience now, because if you get good marijuana, you got to let it stay on there a long time and get the buds get big. See, I couldn't grow no good stuff back then, but I got patience now. But what I'm saying, that's not the way I'm going to prosper. I'm not going to be conformed to this world and this way of thinking and doing and being. Boy, if I was into drugs now, I would be wealthy. I mean, this junk they got now killing people. Nah, I'd get some real stuff where you can get high and enjoy it and ain't got to worry about dying. Come on, somebody. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to do it. I mean, I had fun out there smoking marijuana and snorting cocaine and partying. I really did. People said, well, you know, that wasn't fun. They're lying. They wasn't there. I know. I enjoyed getting stoned and rolling around in the floor laughing and then munching out and drinking a gallon of tea before I go to bed, mellowing out. You see, but God had a plan and a purpose for my life. That life led me to destruction. That life led me away from God's will. That life led me years of wasted time, you know, and good life that I could have been having. And now I'm living the good life. My TV even says the good life. The good life when I turn it on. Every time I turn it on, it says the good life. And I thought, I'm living the good life. Do I have problems? Yes. If there wasn't no people on the planet, I wouldn't have none. If it was just me, buddy, I wouldn't have no problems. I wouldn't. I'd never get tired of me. I enjoy me to the max. I never gripe about myself or nothing, man. I just like, yeah, let's go, baby. Serve God. Does that mean you're not going to have any issues and things in the way of the promises of God? He's not slack concerning them, he said. He's not holding back. He said, I'm not slack concerning getting money to you. I'm not slack concerning getting you a house. I'm not slack concerning cars and things in the natural that you need. I'm not slack concerning money. I'm not slack. Did you know there's no lack of money in this planet? There's billions of dollars on this planet. And the Bible says that the gold and silver is mine, says the Lord. He said, the earth and everything in it belongs to me, says the Lord. That's why God wanted me to have money. You know, I mean, I used to be a drug dealer somewhat. Not a big one. Don't think I was something. I was headed that way, though. I mean, I thought, this way I'm going to get wealthy and drive Rolls Royces and all this stuff. You know, gold chains like you seen on TV. See, TV was trying to give me an image of how to get there. I realized that after I got saved, that line, that all your movies and all of that stuff, you know. I thought one time, Teresa, she said, that is one life to live or something. I don't remember what it was. Why can't you be like him? And come to find out, the dude was having affairs, been divorced a bunch of times, you know, lying, making it out something on TV to be desired, to come to find out their lives were in ruins, they were acting. And so I had to look in the mirror of the Word of God to find out how to be a man, to find out how to be a husband, to find out how to be a daddy. I didn't look to the city in the streets and my brothers and in the family and all of their counsel and all that. I read the scripture where it says, sit not in the counsel of the ungodly or in the seat of the scornful, but your delight is in the word of the Lord. And in it do you meditate day and night, Psalm chapter 1. It says, then you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. But he says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, don't get in a religious mindset of just going to church and reading your Bible. Now, man, you get in the mindset, God, all of this is working, transforming. It's renewing my mind every time I hear a sermon, every time I read a scripture, every time I hear a preaching. Don't be in this mindset of religion. And he says the reason for it. He said, that you may prove. That word prove right there, I went and studied the word prove in the Hebrew. And it means to have, to lay hold of. That you may have. That you may, it says, that you may have what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This transformation here, the word prove says that you will have. In your life, the renewing of my mind. That's why he said, not for me not to be conformed to this world. I don't call my wife old lady. She's not my old lady. See, that's the world's saying. How's your old lady? I told one guy one time, he said, how's your old lady? I said, I don't have one. Did y'all get a divorce? Man, I thought y'all'd be together forever. You need to kill people over her. I said, no, we're still together. I said, she's a child of God. She's not my old lady. Where's your better half? Now I am it. Better half. I'm the best half. I follow Jesus. See, I stopped being conformed to the world. He heard me say one time that was stupid. And it hurt his feelings, and he went to mama. Oh, did he call me stupid? She asked me, and I said, I didn't call him stupid. I said I told him that was a stupid choice. I said, there's a difference. He never heard me down him, period. I'm laying my hands on my kid at 4.5 years old, and I'm blessing him and saying, God, give me the anointing to raise him, that he never sees dad do ungodly things, God, that I will be a daddy, Lord, that he can look to through Jesus and say, this is who I want to be. I want to be like my daddy. My daddy followed Jesus. My daddy prayed and fasted. My daddy gave. My daddy helped people. My daddy obeyed the Lord. My daddy prayed over the food. My daddy wouldn't let me watch a lot of junk on TV. My sister told me one time because we wouldn't let him watch. I think it was Snow White. I even quit watching Bewitched. Whatever it was. Genie in the Bottle. Coming out the movies. I mean, all these movies. With witchcraft in them. See, we're so dulled sometimes because media floods our living rooms. It floods everybody's homes. It floods YouTube. I mean, I used to like comedians, and all they can do is cuss. I'm not interested in hearing that garbage. I want pure words. I want my thoughts clean. I listen to somebody cussing. It makes me want to cuss somebody out. What I'm full of, I want to get out. I want to dump it out. My brother, one time, he hadn't been saved too long. We're up there roofing. And he hit his finger with a hammer. Whop, pow. Got up. Oh, mother, oh, boy. I mean, he just went off, cussing. I got up and I'm looking at him. He looked at me and he said, God, I didn't know. I've been hearing that word or it wouldn't have come out. And you know what? It wasn't long. I was laughing at him. I hit that finger and I almost done the same thing. I got up and I went, oh, no, don't say it. Now, all I'm saying is, see, I was trying my best to get retrained. Retrained. I used to cuss. Me and Teresa come up with cuss words. I mean, we were cussers. I mean, we cuss. Give me that flipping joint. Why do I have to say it that way? Give me a toke. I mean, we had a cuss in everything. We cussed everything. And you know, it was a real challenge for me to get out of that cussing. I mean, it was a real challenge. It took me a while to get out of cussing, you know, and all of that. See, what I realized is these things is hurting me spiritually. I just had a realization that these things are hurting me spiritually, you know, and everything. And I didn't want anything to hinder me spiritually because I knew that God wanted to prosper me. Still do today. You know, I'm prospering. 2020 was a prosperous year for this church, financially, in my business. I'm telling you, it was just a prosperous, it was a challenging year, and everybody was challenged. Everybody was touched in some way. But I'm telling you right now, I prospered in 2020. But you know, I set out the first of 2020 when it come out, and I started listening to the Lord. I started listening to the Lord, and he's saying, don't give it a voice. See, you got to stop giving poverty a voice in your life. We just can't afford nothing, honey. We can't stop saying all of that stuff and say, I can have and we can have whatever we can believe God for. We can change what we have by what we believe. See, the Bible says in Mark 9:23, I believe it is, it says, all things are possible to those that believe. And you know what I've realized in my life, in most people's lives that are Christians, they'll speak out what they believe. Not when they're in church, but it's when they're under pressure. What really is in our heart is what will come out. What really is in our heart is what actions we'll have when the pressure's on. You know I love my wife. I mean, you know, I told Travis the other day, I said I could have affairs all over the place if I wanted them. I said I could have affairs, I own my own business. I could be having affairs everywhere if I wanted them. I don't want them. I made up my mind. I love my wife, and that's the way I'm going to honor my wife. I'm going to stay with my wife. I'm going to be faithful to my wife. I'm not going to look at women. I'm just not going to do it. I can. Some of them come on advertising on TV about half-naked women, and I look away. I just look. My wife can be in the shower. I'll turn it. Jesus is in there with me. Jesus sees my heart. That's more important than whether Teresa believes me or not. Honestly, because God sees, and then I keep the powers of darkness broken off of my marriage. That causes trust to be built whether she realizes it or not, and I realize it or not. But it's all the anointing of God. Well, and just like, you know, I tell her, I mess with her. I like being funny, Mac. I mean, I'm just a funny guy. I mean, I don't like to go around all the time just, you know, I gotta get to work. Come on, lady, get the cash register open. God, don't you know somebody gotta go to work? Man, I go in, you know, and you loosen everybody up, man. You can loosen somebody up. Well, I feel good. I'm going to work. Praise God. I got a job. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I got a job. Praise God. On my way to work, praising God, because I got to go to work. Used to, I'd pray that he would kill the whole place so I wouldn't have to work. But I didn't care. The place burnt. But see, God can't prosper you that way because, listen, the ways of God is not always the road of least resistance. The ways of God is not always the road of least resistance. I've learned that. God says, I want to take you this way. In other words, he told me, he said, I don't want you to forgive your enemies. And I shut that Bible. And I said, I don't like that. I don't like them scriptures in there. Love your enemies is what it says. Love your enemy. I was reading it. And I shut that Bible. Hadn't been saved very long, and I thought, I don't like that. I just don't like that. Bless God, them enemies just stay away from me, and I'll stay away from them, and I'm going to serve Jesus. Little did I know there'd be a lot more enemies come up. Little did I know that I had to learn right then, and God kept telling me, I want you to forgive. I want you to forgive. See, that what I'm saying, the way of God for me was not the road of least resistance. See, I was telling God, you know what they did to me. And you know I tried to tell them this, and they wouldn't, and I tried to do this, and I'm telling God all this that he knew that I hooked myself with back under. I'm telling God all these reasons why I ain't forgiving nobody. Just let them go over there. He wanted me to invite them to church. And I said, I'll invite them to church, but not my church. I grew a little, Johnny. I grew where I could send them to some other church, but not mine. Ain't no way I'm going to stand beside my enemy and worship. I can't do it. Well, some years goes by after I prayed and did that and invited them to, you know, yeah. I was taking steps. See, sometimes you got to take steps in the right direction, but it's all not always easy. That's why everybody ain't in here this morning. That's why a lot of them sitting at home right now. They lost their future when they thought Trump lost. So Trump ain't lost nothing. He got something going here. He come on the scene and got us going. He got the church moving forward. He got everything going. He brought us, you know. And so a lot of them, when their party, they thought lost, they went under spiritually. I didn't. Trump's not my God. Biden is not my God. They ain't none of them my God. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. If God be for the church, who can be against it? Put all the regulations you want on us, Satan. You do what you want to. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to stand on the God's word that is unchanging, black God, and you can't stop it. They tried to get rid of Bibles for years. They pushed God out of schools. That's why there's so much ungodliness in the schools. They push prayer out. Can't read the Bible, but you got a Quran they can let you read. You can learn about transgender and stuff in the schools now, but they won't teach you about we're created in the image and likeness of God. So don't tell me that the way of God is not always the road of least resistance, but bless God, it is the road to victory. I said it's the road to victory. That's where we sang and we get in. We get out there and our lives are challenged and all of that. And we've heard the song in church and we ain't got everybody there, but it's living on the inside of us. And we say, victory, oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. I stand on the word. I let the Lord do the battle. Victory, oh, victory is mine. I sang that song, buddy, when challenges come to me. And I'm in the middle of the fire, and all of that's going on in my life. Victory, oh, victory is mine. I sang it. I don't get down there, oh, I got to call Jenny and all of them. Good God, y'all guys, please get a prayer chain going. I need everybody that can. I'm telling you, mine and Teresa, we was arguing, and I wanted to divorce her, and I'm telling you, if she don't change, y'all pray and fast, please. And then y'all are like, good God, I can't do it. A hot dog whipped me. I tried to fast, Scotty, but I got hungry. See, my trust can't be in that, Mac. My trust has got to be rooted and grounded in the one that the Bible says is able to do abundantly above, greater than you can think or ask. That's pretty powerful. That's a thing about that statement. He said he's able to do abundantly above, greater than you can. If you can think, get your house paid off, he can do greater. If you can think driving you a brand new car, he can think bigger. He can do bigger than that. If you can think, we can't think big as God can do. I mean, the other day I was like, nah, don't ask him for another tractor. I've got four. I ask him for tractors. I got tractors. I ask him for the bulldozers. I've had them. I've had probably seven bulldozers. Ask him for backhoe. I got one of them too. See, don't think that it's braggadocious. You ought to be going out on the streets and saying, bless God, I didn't have nothing, and I got hold of the Word of God, and every time I ask God something, God does it for me. He comes through for me. He straightened my marriage out. He gave me a promotion on the job. This ought to be coming for the body of Christ, but the reason why it ain't is not because of an organization, a Democratic public party. I'm neither one of them. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not an independent. I'm a born-again believer with God-given rights. I'm born again. I'm born of the Spirit of God. If the Bible says that abortion, murder is wrong, then I'm not for it. If the Bible says that it's a man and a woman married, then don't give me this transgender junk. I don't agree. I need to get you saved. I need to get you born again. I need to get you looking at who you really are. If you don't know who you are and you're a woman, I've never thought, I wish I was a woman. I mean, dude, really. I've never thought, I wish I was a... Well, I ain't saying that. I mean, I've never wanted to be a woman. I got born again, and I'm thinking, somebody wants to be a woman, and they're a man. I'm like, what's wrong with you, dude? Seriously. We got to get saved if we're thinking that. We got some real demonic spirits behind this garbage. Really demonic spirits that trying to turn the world and the nation to ungodliness, to God, not God's way of doing and being. You know, I thought, thank God we got a new covenant, because I wouldn't be like Moses now with 30 wives. One woman's enough. I love my wife, but I wouldn't have 14 of her. But God, I just wouldn't, Johnny. I mean, they no wonder they had a hard time. Yeah. Praise God. But you know, see, God has a, Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the thoughts, the plans that I have towards you, says the Lord. But see, the problem sometimes is we have to live life, and it seems like it's not going anywhere. It seems like not God's not doing it. And that is the times of challenge when we got to stay on that word and keep that word and say, it don't matter what it feels like, it don't matter what it looks like, God's word says this, and I'm not going to give in to my emotions and feelings. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand, God, regardless of how long it takes, God, I'm going to believe that you can. If he can turn my marriage around, there ain't a marriage on this planet that he can't fix. And I don't say that lightly. If he can fix me, there ain't nobody on this planet, you know, that he can't touch. I mean, I'm raised in a family of 17 brothers and sisters. We didn't have nothing. My daddy was a farmer. You know, I remember, I mean, when we got a big mom, I mean, the table would have two huge pans, and they would be biscuits. And we were like a bunch of rats, boy. As soon as they hit that table, we hit it. We ain't waiting on the eggs. I'm eating a biscuit and taking one with me, because it ain't going to last long. Them pans of biscuits went lickety-split. You didn't say, Mom, I didn't really want biscuits this morning, like some of our grandkids do now. I didn't want that. Dude, we got some biscuits. We going. Well, you know, same way in the wilderness, they got up there, God raining manna out of heaven, and they got tired of it. They got tired of God. That was, I mean, majestic food, man. You know, I mean, it was just, I told somebody the other day that I know they done went off and God began to prosper them, and, you know, and now up here and don't really need a whole lot, driving nice cars, and don't give God a whole lot of attention. I said, my church won't never do that. We're going to remember where we came from. We're going to remember that we were on the bottom. And when God brings us up to wealth and we got nice cars and nice houses, we're not going to forget God. We're not going to forget it. That's what he said in Deuteronomy. He told them, he said, listen, he said, when you're living in your fine houses, he was telling them, it's going to happen, guys. You're going to have... Your flock is going to increase. I'm going to increase you. You're going to live in nice houses. And he went on and told him, he said, but don't forget me. He said, don't forget me when you're living in your goodly houses. And I just told a guy yesterday, I said, you know what? I'm living in my goodly houses. I said, I've got land. Listen, I started off with an acre and 6/10. I own 50-something acres. I started out when I got saved, I was in a trailer that was, they was charging me 1% per month interest. Man, I mean, I was paying $30 a month on principal on a $261 loan. I was paying $230 a month interest. That's where I was at. And I kept feeling like I'm getting robbed. God, did they're robbing me. And so I went from there to a quick loan that charged me 29% interest. And then I was paying $130 a month on my house. And then I got tired of being robbed there. And I said, Lord, I'm getting away from these quick loans. I'm stopped punting my titles and stuff. See, I had to stop looking to the world. Hallelujah. I mean, my wife went without a wedding band because I went and punted it to get groceries. That's ridiculous. It wasn't ridiculous back then. Now I got saved, and I'm like, bless God, I'm never going to the punch. Why turn to the weak and beggarly elements of this world, bless God? God will come through for me. If God can't come through for me, then I've got the wrong Jesus. I need the one that is the real thing. You know, they had a saying back under Coke, the real thing. You know, and the Lord spoke to me one time when I was on the way to jail, and he said, tell them today that Jesus is the real thing. And so, you know what? I had to start turning. But see, every time we turn away from the conformity that this world, the way it does and the way, you know, I mean, just like if you've been on, I don't consider myself a recovering marijuana smoker. I got born again. I was a new creation. I mean, you're a brand new man. You're a brand new woman. The Bible says old things pass away, and behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. You're a brand new person. God told me one time, you're just always going to be a recovering. I said, nope, not according to Scripture, and I'm going to believe it instead of you. But God, I'm a king and a priest unto God. I'll smoke pot if I want to, and I'm not smoking if I... You know, Jesus, he said, they didn't take my life. I laid it down. They couldn't do nothing to him. Satan couldn't do nothing to you or me. Well, we got to come out of this. I know it. We all been there. Just suck it up, buttercup. Teresa come up with that saying. I'll be whining a little bit, and she'll say, suck it up, buttercup. Put on your big boy panties. I mean, she just sounds rough, don't she? I'm like, you suck it up. But thank God for strong people around you. Thank God if you got strong people around you. This says, don't go that way. Don't do that. Don't say that. Listen, this is not it. When I'm getting angry, I just say, I'm not talking about that no more. Because if I talk, I'm going to come unglued. You know, because the Bible says much talking leads to sin. The Bible says that soft words turns away wrath. It says the wise man has few words. See, I'm wise when I keep my mouth shut when I'm wanting to rattle on about nobody knew the trouble I have. I went down and had want somebody to work on one of my tractors. Cured the part down to him. And I thought, well, it's been all week. I'm going to ride down there. And Tracy said, where are you going Saturday? He tried to get in touch with me. You can't get in touch with me on the weekend, but I'm done with that phone. If you need me, call on Jesus and let him talk to me through the Holy Ghost. Bless God, and you'll know you done know God then. Hallelujah. And if he needs me to get over here to you real bad, I can see you. I'll be sitting there and he'll say, Johnny needs you at Rainbow. And I'll be like, yes, sir. Jump in my car, go to Rainbow. Ha! Oh, I was just thinking about you. I know it. God told me. Hey, it should be working like that, friend. I mean, this stuff should really be happening. I mean, we should be relying on him, you know. And so Teresa, she says, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to ride down so-and-so and you know, and check it. I pull up down there. They ain't even touched it. And I'm standing there. I get out, and I walk around, and I'm walking around. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm walking around that trailer with my part on it. And I'm thinking, and I'm boiling. I'm about to get boiling. And I thought, get in your car and leave and quit thinking. See, I knew, don't keep thinking. Had all week long. Said, Teresa, just talked about it. Now it's trying to offend me. It's trying to get me tripped up because expectation wasn't met. I didn't say they was right in not doing it. But the expectation was not met on my end. Now I've got to make a choice. So I've got to leave there, and I've got to just forget it. Blood of God, and I thought, just hook to your trailer. Don't tell them nothing. If they ask you, then you can let them know what the case means. And I could do it. It's my trailer and my stuff. But you're still down there, and all's good. I went on home and enjoyed myself and clear-coated my 1994 Chevrolet. Well, one side of it. I told her, I said, hey, we're going to go eat. We'll go eat in that old 94. She said, I ain't riding in that junk. I said, don't you keep your tongue off of my truck. Don't you call my truck junk. And so I went and I thought, what's the use? I mean, I like the old truck. Poor me. She said that. It's dirty. What big deal? Man, we've slept in the floorboard, baby. We ain't there anymore. She's been delivered. Yeah, we slept in the floorboard. We slept in our car with sheepskins to keep us warm. We breathed in each other's nostrils to keep us warm. We was in love. We don't care if your breath stinks or not, baby. Come here. Hallelujah. And you know what, praise God? God's brought us all this far. He's brought victory every year. We got 36 years of victory. 37 years of victory. You know? Jesus made it all happen, praise God. And you know what? See, you can't cow down to adversity. In your marriage, I was better off without them. No, you wasn't. No, you need her. You need him. God's giving you an opportunity to cover your man, to cover your woman. You know? When the Lord told me to love my wife like Christ so loved the church, I thought she'd take advantage of me. Because I didn't consider myself a weak guy. You couldn't be married to her, man. We were just two kids loose. I mean, she was 15 when I got married, and I was 18. And when neither one of us been raised, we've been raised fighting up on the mountain. 17 of them, what do you think? I mean, they hung me. I hung my brother over a sewer me and my other brother got together, was mad at him because he went and told Mama we eat more cookies than him. And so we tied a rope around his leg, and the sewer was out in the front yard, and there's a tree above it, and we towed the rope over there, and we pulled him up over the sewer, and poof, poof, he went down in the sewer. And we left him in the sewer. He goes and runs in there to Daddy and tells Daddy, and Daddy whoops him and puts him in the bathtub for getting in the sewer. So he got dunked. So they didn't. And then here we get married, and we don't know no discipline, you know. And so we have a rough life up till we get saved. And then the Lord begins to tell us, you know, submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord. I told her one time. I said, cause Abraham, Sarah called Abraham master, you know. And so I told her one time. I said, call me master. Call me master. She couldn't do it, Mac. She could not call me master. I wouldn't really want her to. I'll mess with her. I said, just call me master. You know what? She couldn't do it. But you know, later on, we was messing around, you know, and she said, okay, master. I said, you did it. Miracles. Miracles happen. You were able to call me master. Hallelujah. But you know what? In truth, if I really love my wife, I want her to have better than I got. I want her to be well. I'm not concerned about her sitting. I told her one time, you know, I said, you know, I'm the one working here, and you're sitting at home sucking up the air conditioning with the lights on, watching soap operas or whatever you're doing. You know, you've got it made. I'm going to work, and then you want to gripe about my socks in the living room? Come on. I'm paying you to do all this. See, you don't have that in marriage. I try to clean my stuff up out of the floor in the kitchen. You know. Every now and then I'll leave my dirty clothes there. I won't take a bath every night if she wouldn't stay on me. It's wasting water. If I don't sweat a lot, leave me alone. I'm not taking a bath. Just wash the pillows and stuff, you know. I know there's dirt on me, but look. But she's all clean because she stays at home. I'm like, really? So I'm dirty and you're clean. So you don't have to take a bath every night, but I do because I go out and work. I said, no, you're nasty anyways. See, these are things, man. I mean, this stuff happens. Am I the only one? Some of y'all ain't married yet. We're going to pray for you to get a woman. Where God can help you humble yourself. But you know what? I've experienced a good marriage because of it. And she submits herself. I don't come to church with wrinkled socks. You can't see my socks. And I'm like, really? She irons my t-shirt. I don't come to church wrinkled. She's honoring God. She prays to see what I'm supposed to wear to church on Sunday. I've seen her go in there and get completely ready and then go back in there, headed back in there. And I'd be like, where are you going? I've got to go change clothes. The Lord don't want me to wear this. And I'm like, well, it looks good to me. You've wore it before. You know, well, it don't matter. God said change. And I'm like, well, let's do what God says. Let's get out of the bedroom with her. Well, want to know what God wants you to wear on Sunday morning? Want to know what God wants me to wear on Wednesday? She come in one time and she said, God wants you to wear a suit. I said, it can't be Jesus. That just can't be Jesus. Y'all know what I wear on Wednesday night. I just wear casual stuff. Come to church, that might have been a Sunday morning. I wear a suit when I go to a funeral or get married somebody. Reluctantly, I do it. I don't like doing neither one of them. Get to church. And this woman, she walks over to me, and she says, you know what you look like? I thought, oh, God. She said, you look like a monkey without a tail in that suit. I said, you're the reason I had to wear this suit. You have a problem with preachers with suits, and you caused me to have to, Jesus made me wear this for you to get straightened out today. You need to repent. Bless God, and I won't have to wear a suit to church again. I mean, really, it happened. Y'all would get upset, too, if Jesus made you wear a suit that you don't really want to wear one because somebody has a problem in church and he wants to help them get straightened out, and you're the only one bold enough to tell them. Don't ever make me wear a suit again here. Get over it. I've never had to wear one since. Ain't it wonderful the perks of serving Jesus that he puts you through? Makes you forgive people. Compels you to go the extra mile. Compels you to give. To forgive. You know, I've really learned how to bust the devil up through love. You overcome evil with good. Somebody gets mad at me, I go bust them with $100. They don't get mad. They're not mad no more, Mac. Somehow that $100 does it every time. It just whips that devil. $100 whips him. You know, whenever I'm challenged, you know, to get upset at people, I'll go do something good for somebody. And I'll say, Satan, you want to attack me and make me feel oppressed? You want to try to steal my joy? Well, I'm going to show you how to do it. I don't wrestle against you. You done been stripped of all power. Jesus stripped you of all power, and I sure ain't going to give you none in my life. I done resisted you because I'm submitted to God. All I got to do is just resist you, and you have to flee. But I'm going to go ahead and go the extra mile and put you in your place and go give. He leaves me. Hey, you don't mess with me much, man. Ain't it going to be nice when Satan don't mess with you much? Oh, he does me every morning, every day. He's scared to mess with some of us. He come over here, threw somebody, stole the guitars and stuff. Y'all know the deal. So when he left, I asked him, anything else you want to steal? I mean, they stole those guitars back. We bought those guitars back. It was time to upgrade anyhow, and somebody sent us a $3,000 check out of state that found out somehow that somebody stole our guitars. They've never been to this church that I know of. And I'm like, Satan, come back and get that guitar, would you? Had another sitting up there. Won't you come get it? I told him the other day, what's wrong? Are you scared? Won't you go break back into church, homie? Because we make you pay. So you think all of that's not real. But the Bible says in the Bible, if we catch the Satan stealing, that we can make him pay seven times. I got that from Scripture, and I done used it before, and it worked before, and it worked this time. And so I just told Satan, are you scared to break in our church again? Just go ahead. Take them pews, why don't you? We've been wanting chairs. Drag a few of them out. We've been wanting some chairs. See, a pastor told me, ain't you scared they'll take everything? I said, it belongs to the Lord. I'm not scared of nothing. I said, if he wants to sit by and let it happen, he knows we're going to believe him for bigger and better. I said, it's real simple to me. I'm in a win-win kingdom. Sickness comes against me and tells me I'm going to die. I tell it you a liar. I'm going to live and not die and declare the glory of God. The Bible says, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Hallelujah. You know, my body tells me, I thought, you're just going to have a heart attack all of a sudden because you've had open heart surgery and you're feeling a little pain over there. Don't tell Teresa because she'll make you go to the hospital. And I told Satan, shut up, you idiot. I ain't got time to mess with you. My heart's like a new one. You're causing me to look at them symptoms and make me start doubting that I'm going to live, you know, or something else is wrong with me, you know, or whatever. You got to combat these things with the Word of God. Don't be conformed to, oh, the doctors will let you die. I just heard that. Oh, God, we can't even trust the doctors no more. They'll let you die. See, what we don't realize, doctors can only do so much. Doctors are very limited. Very limited. Went to the doctor one time. I'm going to close with this, David. We've only been an hour here. Went to the doctor one time. I said, hey. He said, what can I do for you, Scotty? I said, well, I got a runny nose, snot running out. Told him all my symptoms. He said, I'll be right back. And I said, well, where are you going? He said, I'm going to look up your symptoms and see what's wrong with you. He walks out. I thought, what? Are you serious? The doctor don't know. He's going to get a book. I mean, it hit me right then. He don't know nothing. He goes in there. He comes back. And I thought, really, that he was kidding. And so I said, did you go find me in a book? Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I couldn't put it together what was wrong with you, so I went and looked up your symptoms in there, and this is what's wrong with you. And I'm like, man, you don't even know what's wrong with me. You ain't run no test. You went and looked in a book, you know. I mean, he did give me a shot, got better. It was steroids. Them steroids, they'll help anything. If you swelled up, go get them to get you some steroids. I told him, I said, hey, man. I said, why don't you just call me in a bottle of them steroids? I said, put me on them steroids. I was having polyps in my nose. He said, I can do that if you want me to, but it won't be good for your liver later down the road and blah, 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 and told me all that. I said, nah, don't give it to me. I'll just stand on the word. Been 12 years. Standing on the word. So I want to encourage you. You know, it's God's will that you prosper. And you found God's will in that Bible. And I preached a lot of it to you. He's not slack concerning his promises. Now, we got to work with the Lord in all of that, whatever he's speaking to us. And if you seek him, you'll find him. If you ask, the door will be open. If you knock, it'll be open to you. He'll lead you and guide you, hallelujah, in the steps that he wants you. The Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, hallelujah. And he delights in them, the Bible says. So you know what? Don't get too much in the way the world does and thinks in the media. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, I believe it was Smith Wigglesworth, he raised people from the dead, documented in the Bible. I mean, documented in newspapers. This man of God raised them from the dead. But you know what? This other evangelist come over and he had a newspaper. And he knocked on the door, and he opened the door, and he said, come in. He said, leave the newspaper out there. He wouldn't even let him take a newspaper in his house. There was a reason for that. That was back yonder in the 40s and the 50s. He wouldn't let the news in his house. He had the news. He had the Bible. He had the Holy Spirit. He didn't know what, need to know what all was going on. He just needed to know that God was on the scene, praise God. But you know, that guy documented cases, raised the dead. So you know what? Maybe you need to shut Fox and all of them off. Newsmax and all of them. Maybe you need to get rid of all of them for causing you a lot of problem, confirming you, getting you angry, getting you upset. Can't believe people would do that. That you've got to watch that. That's planting seeds on the inside of you to get you angry. Well, we got a God-given right to stand up. Yeah, we got a God-given right to vote and then pray. We vote, we pray, right? We don't bash. I'm not going to bash Biden and see him with the wigs. That bothers me that they put him on Facebook with wigs. That bothers me. I'm not going to bash Nancy Pelosi. I don't agree with none of them. I'll be glad when God removes all of them. But I'm not going to bash them. And I'm not going to get in alliance with anybody that does. Because the Bible says for me and you to pray for those that are in authority. It don't say bash them, you know, reveal them. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Love don't reveal. But you know, God will do that. There's stages up there that me and you can do nothing about that God's in. So he needs our faith down here that what we voted for and what we're believing for, that he will accomplish up yonder in high places that me and you can't get. So don't get caught up in this world and people's thinking, Christians thinking. They thinking that evil won. I can't find out in the Bible. I read the book of Revelation. Bless God, we win. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.